Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff had an answer to some of the things we were talking about with Albert Breer's statement on Deshaun Watson. Breer had more to say. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to hear what Jeff had to say. Nick Shooks joining us at high noon from the NFL Network. Chris Rose at 12:40, but a little bit of news from the owners' meetings. Dan, we go back to the 2.5-hour newsroom. What do you got?
NFL owners have approved a change to the onside kick rule, gentlemen. So the change will be teams will be able to declare an onside kick anytime while trailing, as well as now they will be able to line up 1 yard closer. So before it used to be just in the fourth quarter you could declare an onside kick. Now anytime you are trailing, you do declare that you can have an onside kick.
I do declare.
Taking an onside kick.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the stupidest thing ever?
I do declare.
Hi. I do declare.
We would like to surprise you with an onside kick. Here it comes.
The goal of this, apparently 6% of onside kicks were recovered by the kicking team last year. So the goal is to increase that success rate.
Yeah, you want to know how to increase it? Don't tell them.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to declare for it. Well, no, you have to declare because it's set up different. That's why you have to do it.
Exactly right.
But in contrast, the rule was it was only allowed in the fourth quarter, and a team had to be trailing, and the ball had to travel at least 10 yards before the kicking team can touch it, which has always been the same there.
I understand having to declare because of the way that the new kick and everybody downfield. Do you like the whole thing, or would you rather go back to what it was? It's about player safety here. That's what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It appears that they achieved that last year, that it was better.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand it. But that's a key aspect of the game that just really doesn't exist very much anymore.
Also, does the ball still have to go 10 yards? Does that make sense?
I would think it has to go
9.
My guess.
I would think it has to go 10. Unless the kicker has moved up as well. If the kicker has moved up a yard, then I would think he only has to go 9.
It was 10 yards separating the two teams, correct? I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And now the new rule is 9 yards.
Well, the ball has to go 10 yards. So I do believe that the teams were lined up 10 yards apart, right?
I've always believed that to be 10 yards, and that's why we've always said it had to go 10 yards. Yeah. I also, why couldn't you do an onside kick? Because you can't move until the ball is kicked. Why couldn't you do an onside kick in the other formation?
Because there's nobody between all of the players and the kicker.
Kicker could just kick it
15 yards and go fall on it.
I don't know how else you could do that unless the kicker. You'd have to move the kicker up. You couldn't do it.
Multiple coin tosses. That's the answer. Hey, we'd like to do an onside kick. Call it heads or tails.
Why don't they just?
Oh, you won.
You know what they could do? They could bring a roulette wheel out to the 50-yard line and have
bet red or black?
Well, no, it would be odd or even. Yeah, no, not even that. It would be green or red, and you would, all but two spaces, like the double zeros, though they would be
okay.
They would be red, and all the other ones would be black. And if it landed in one of the reds, and the other team got the ball,
come to the dark side, gentlemen. Come to the dark side.
Yeah.
Here's how much
I
hate the kickoff talk. Can we go back to talking Browns quarterback?
Come to the dark side, guys. It's a lot easier.
And that is?
Come to the dark side.
How much closer are we to, this is the last point on this. How much closer do you think we are to not even having kickoffs at all?
That, my friend, is the dark side.
Yeah, that's really
Come to the dark side. It's a lot. Just get rid of the stupid kickoff. We're working way too hard for something that you typically fast forward through or in the bathroom for. Like, just stop. You're trying so hard to keep something alive that is dead. Just get rid of it. Kick it off in the beginning of the game. Have the other team kick it off at halftime, and that's the end of it.
If everything wasn't...
it's just honorary at this point.
NBA got rid of the jump ball. They jumped the ball at the beginning of the game.
Well, then it's not really dead.
But that's exactly what Dan just said. Just kick it off at the beginning of the game and then just alternate.
Yep. Just come to the dark side. Stick the ball at the 25 and let's go.
With a regular kickoff.
Nothing more fun than watching NBA referees throw the ball up crooked.
Stick the ball at the 25 and
why
let's go.
Why don't they just have a machine that can do that? They
can wheel off real quick. Guys would trip over it on their way back down the floor.
How about this? It falls out of the scoreboard.
Move along, please. Can we talk about Brown's quarterback
again? Don't you like that idea, Dan? Let the ball drop from the scoreboard in the middle of the ceiling. And then you know it's fair. Yeah, make it. It's fair. I think
no one will get hurt as a ball is dropping and a bunch of guys are shoving each other and body slamming each other and taking each other out.
The XFL when Vince McMahon did it, they had like a free-for-all scrum after the ball, right? They put the ball down and guys had to, I forget if it was two guys or if it was a team, had to run after it and beat the you-know-what out of each other to try and get the ball.
That's a great
idea.
And
it was screaming for injuries.
Oh, I still think it's fun. And when the kickoff is right,
says the guy who's not going to get hurt.
Well, that's true. I'm just a fan. I'm just watching from the outside. What else did Albert? Or no, go back to your point before we get to Albert Burr. Do you remember what your point was going to break?
Yeah. You said something about if Watson comes back and you're going to have to get rid of quarterbacks and all. I don't mean this as a slap at Joe Flacco. Best case scenario for the Browns is that Dillon Gabriel goes into camp and looks great, and plays great. Shedeur Sanders does the same, and so does Kenny Pickett. And there are your three quarterbacks, and you get rid of the 40-year-old guy who obviously is not anything, has nothing to do with your future, could possibly have something to do with your present, but nothing to do with your future. And then you have three guys who could be your quarterback moving forward. And then you figure out how Deshaun Watson fits.
So your worst-case scenario is that Joe Flacco is extremely successful in the beginning of the season?
It's not a worst-case scenario, but I truly think if Flacco's your starter, something went really wrong. And that it's not about Joe. It's about everybody else. I mean, you've got young guys here. What's this team need? It needs a quarterback long term. That's not Joe.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It makes me ponder the question, are you playing to win this season? And that also doesn't help.
You can't tell 60 guys not to.
I 100% agree with that. There's no way. Do you think Myles Garrett wants to go out there and lose? No. We've already seen the tantrum in the offseason about this, about trade me. I still wonder. I wonder when they drafted Mason Graham what they had said to Myles Garrett and if that fulfilled what he was. When they were trying to get Miles to come back, what did they say? All right, Albert Breer had another thing to say.
Here's what you will be taking to the bank.
All right, what else did Albert have to say?
I do know this. When you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. If all of a sudden that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now, like if you're the Browns, like this is like a no-lose situation. Like we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
He's right. But the key, the key is if it turns around. What have we seen that would make you think that, it should turn around? What have we seen?
Nothing. We haven't seen anything. And now he's sitting on two injuries that make, or the same injury twice, that makes you think that there's nothing to bank on here.
Right.
That there's nowhere to go with this thing.
Right. And there's no guarantee that he's going to recover completely from the Achilles. I hope he does for his sake. And I don't know if it would make it more prone to injury that he's torn it twice. I don't know. All I know is that he's not been anywhere near the quarterback that he used to be since he's been with the Browns. And that's obvious.
The question, the other sidebar to this thing is there anybody that wants, like, one, does he even want to play here anymore? And two,
doesn't matter.
Do fans want him to play here anymore?
Doesn't matter.
And three, does the front office want him to play here anymore?
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
How they got to pay him. They can't get rid of him.
So if I'm paying him, I probably want a little return on my investment.
If he can play.
If he can play.
They've already, Albert Breer just said what we've said all along. They've already written him off. If he actually can come back and play, well, then you got a bonus. Because they've already written him off, there's going to be no need to put him on the field. Unless he looks phenomenal and everybody else doesn't. I mean, good Lord, when his contract's up, you don't want to pay him again, do you?
No, I think you're looking at that June 1st designation for next year. That's what they're trying to get to. That's the goal here, is to get to that June 1st designation. The only thing that makes the water muddy is if he's healthy and can play, and like Albert said, can return to the place where you said. There's no one here thinks that that's going to happen.
No, we don't.
Again, though, is there anybody in town that's like,
until he doesn't, Andy, you have to think that there is an outside possibility.
Dan, do you think there's anybody that wants him to play?
Yes.
Okay, who?
I think there are still people amongst the fan base who would want to see Deshaun Watson play. I think there are people that if Deshaun Watson won, would love to see him play.
We don't care who it is, exactly. As long as they play good football and they win football games.
It feels like the path of least resistance for the next 2 years would be if he were to walk back in and look like the guy that you handed the fully guaranteed contract
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely, Dan. And guess what? When he's healthy and good to go, if he's clearly the best-looking quarterback out of the bunch, we'll play him.
Exactly. The problem is I don't think that guy exists anymore.
I don't either. But it's a real... Seriously, it's a real simple situation. It's simple. You already have a 4-guy competition. At some point, if it becomes a 5-guy competition or somebody else gets cut and it becomes 4 again with Deshaun and he's the best guy, put him on the field. I don't care. You don't care.
What we care about is having a quarterback that this team can have in place for the next 3 or 4 years.
That's probably not Deshaun Watson. He's going to be in place for 2 years. But here's the catch. If you're another NFL team and he becomes a free agent, and let's say he's been okay here, you going to sign him for what quarterbacks are getting paid these days?
No, you're trying to get out of this year that maybe you could trade him in the offseason, right? And I don't know what you would get, but you would have a team that would want to pick up that last year of the contract, which is a lot easier to swallow than anything else.
If he is the Deshaun Watson of old, yes. If he is anything less than the Deshaun Watson of old, they are going to look at the Browns and say, you eat that contract, we'll talk from here.
Yeah, because you're the reason that we're paying every quarterback $50 million.
I don't want to trade for $80 million when I could sign it for $10 million or where I could sign it for $5 million.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the stadium when we come back. That's something we enjoy talking about.
Do we ever?
Well, the mayor said something to Fox 8 yesterday that Daryl Ryder has been writing about probably for about a year. The mayor said some stuff yesterday I thought made complete sense. It seems to be that, I don't know if there's the white flag has gone up on this thing, and now we're all kind of saying, okay, it looks like it's going to happen. The dome is going to be a done deal. And you tell me what you read out of what, or what you thought about what the mayor said yesterday, because it's kind of been there for months, but maybe because it was on Fox 8, people are listening. I don't know. Daryl's been saying it for months. 216-474-0092.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.